Wow. Here I am. Thank you. That is I'm not gonna lie, that's a little emotional. This is the culmination of a lot of prayer, and I know it's a lot of prayer on your part, Keystone, but it's been a lot of prayer on the part of Jolynn and me and my family. And I had to shut my iPad down because my kids have been texting me. Those in the Eastern time zone, forget I'm on a different time zone, so they're not sure if I'm preaching, when I'm preaching. It's not that big of a deal, but it's been so exciting for my family to arrive to this day, and so we are excited to be here. And Jolynn and I are super excited to be on the ground in Ankeny to be able to talk about God's word this morning, and looking forward to meeting so many of you and the opportunity to minister here. We are looking forward to learning your ways in Iowa. You have great sunsets. Do you know that? Your sunsets are different than they are in Pennsylvania, here in Iowa. So these are a couple things we're learning. We are finding out that hashtag Iowa nice is a real thing. We've met a lot of really nice people in Iowa. A lot of great people in this church, but just in Ankeny itself, just super nice people. So we found that out. We are trying to figure out how you pronounce the word Hy-Vee. 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 We're trying to work on that as well. So if you can help me with that, that would be great. So learning your ways is a big part of what it means to begin here, and we're looking forward to that and to learning more. So help us along the way. We're pretty simple people. We like to eat. We like to have fun, and we love Jesus. So if that's in your wheelhouse, I mean, get to know us, all right? We are just so glad to be here. But we have work to do this morning, right? So we're in this teaching series called Wise Words, and that's where we want to spend some time in the book of Proverbs. Today, looking at the idea of using words wisely, using words wisely. And as I've had the opportunity to look back on what's already been covered in this series, some things have been said, and I want to reiterate a couple of those things for us this morning, all right? About Proverbs. Maybe you're new to the Bible. Maybe you're hearing like, and you're like, wow, I'm new too. Awesome. Welcome. It'll be really hard to know everybody's name, but maybe you're new, not just to Keystone, but maybe to the Bible. And maybe you're like, I don't even know where Proverbs is, but you're welcome here. And that's great. But sometimes with Proverbs, we look at them like pithy sayings. Cleanliness is next to godliness. And, you know, maybe you live with a roommate and you're like, oh my gosh, my roommate so needs that proverb. The problem is that's not a proverb. Some of you are like, oh my gosh, he doesn't even know what the proverbs are. I know, that's not a proverb. But many times we look at the proverbs like that, as just pithy sayings, and we divorce them from a context. The other thing we do with proverbs many times is we treat them like aspirin. Take two proverbs and call me in the morning. And that too is a dangerous way to look at Proverbs. And some of those things have been talked about already in the teaching that we've been through. Think about this, friend. Whether it's Proverbs, but especially Proverbs, no matter what, it has to be woven into the big story of the Bible, right? Looking at the Proverbs has to be woven into the big story of the Bible. It is best read, one writer said, the Proverbs are best read in light of the person and the work of Jesus. And so we want to be careful to do that. We want to be careful not to separate them from the context of God's word. So today, talking about using words wisely, here's what I want to submit to us this morning as we get into Proverbs. And you can go to turn to Proverbs chapter 25. I'm going to turn there, Proverbs 25, verses 11 through 13. And again, maybe you're not familiar with the Proverbs as you find your way around. Those verses will be in the screen. There they are. We'll read those in a minute. But here's what I want to submit to you this morning. Consider together surprisingly wise words, okay? Remember that. Maybe you want to jot that down in your paper. Surprisingly wise words. That's what we want to look at this morning. Surprisingly wise, because sometimes we underestimate their impact. Isn't that how it is with words of wisdom? Sometimes they're surprisingly wise. We underestimate the value of their impact. So finding my way around Ankeny, it hasn't been too hard. You have a lot of straight roads out here, which is cool. So the other evening, it was just getting dark, And I decided I'm gonna drive. We were somewhere and I said to Jillian, I'm turning the GPS off to go home. Oh, big day, right? So off we go and everything's going fine. Turn right, turn left. I think I got this down. And all of a sudden we got to where a road I was sure I needed to turn on, and there was construction that shut the road down. We have a lot of construction in Pennsylvania. I was hoping maybe that's something you didn't have here, but you do. And when you're new and they shut the road down, you don't understand what a problem that was. I mean, you know, it was like 2 a.m. We finally pulled in. Not really. But the point is, closing that road for you, if you've lived here a long time, that may not be a big deal. Man, if you just moved here, I don't care how straight the roads are, you could drive around a lot and not find your way home. Road closed. I can tell you this, I underestimated the impact of that. And sometimes, I think most times, words are like that, aren't they? We underestimate their impact to hurt, their impact to heal. Surprisingly wise words, we underestimate their impact. Proverbs 25, 11 through 13, I want us to look at several surprisingly wise words that we can pull out of the text here. I'll follow along as I read. I'm gonna read these three verses, and again, they're on the screen if you need that. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his master. Surprisingly wise words. Several of these we want to look at just from verses, from those verses 11, 12, 13. And again, maybe you want to jot these down. Think about them. Think about how they apply to your past week, moving into this week. Consider, first of all, there in 11, fitting words. Notice what the writer of Proverbs says, 11. A word fitly spoken. First surprisingly wise word I want to talk about this morning is a fitting word. One translation says, a word skillfully spoken. Another translation says, a word that is spoken at the right time. Fitting words. What kinds of fitting words are there? Well, we could go on forever this morning and talk about fitting words, could we not? But let's just poke on that a little bit in our lives. When we look at the landscape of speaking fitting words, man, there's nothing like a word that's spoken at the right time. What comes to mind? What are some fitting words? Let me throw out several to you that I thought of that have been helpful in my life. And I think as we draw out the context of this can help us. Planned words. Planned words. Look back over your week in your mind. How many words did you speak that were unplanned? If you're like me, most of them. But most of them were reactions in anger, frustration. I can't believe they closed that road. Unplanned words. In a much deeper way, how many of those unplanned words were spoken to the people and around the people who know you the best, who you care about the most, but you know you can kind of get away with unplanned words? And so maybe you didn't sleep well, or maybe you weren't happy with your circumstances, or maybe I didn't get my way, and so out it came. What if we were more careful, brothers and sisters at Keystone? What if we were more careful about planning our words? Have you ever used this? That's just the way I am. You ever use that? Well, that's just the way I am. That's how my dad was. That's the way I am. Isn't it so easy to say that? Isn't it so easy to fall back on, well, this is how I'm wired? Well, would to God we would say, you know what, maybe I should be wired a little bit differently. Maybe I can't use that as an excuse anymore in my relationship with my spouse, the way I talk to my kids, the kind of coworker I am. Here's some fitting words, planned words. How about this week if in my life I was able to say, you know what, I need to plan my words. When there's gonna be a conflict, the words I use need to be careful words. Because man, there's nothing more surprisingly good. We underestimate the impact of fitting words, of planned words. others I thought of, and again, there's so many we could list, but how about needed words? Not just planned words are fitting words, but how about needed words? I wish I had said something. You ever say that? Walking away from a situation where maybe you were ministering to somebody, maybe a brother, sister in your life, and there was a need in their life, and you just thought, well, I didn't want to take the time. Or I wasn't sure what to say. And you come away from that context, and you realize the opportunity that you had and think, I should have said something. Parents, how about with kids? Sitting down with children many times, and it's like, I missed an opportunity there. I wish I would have said something. Fitting words are planned words. Fitting words are needed words. I wonder, in your life right now, think about the context of the relationships you'll be in this week. Where in those relationships do you say, man, Tuesday morning, we're talking, and here's some things I need to say. Here's some things that person needs to hear. That can be such a positive thing, such a fitting thing. I love in Romans 12, I think it's somewhere in 19 there, the Apostle Paul writes, outdo one another in showing honor. That's a needed word, isn't it? You ever been around someone who just does a great job at outdoing others in showing honor? They just have a way of casting the light on somebody else and saying, look what they've provided. How about how this person has helped? And man, it's just such a fitting word. It's such a needed word. Someone should say that. So this idea of using words wisely, underestimating the impact of surprisingly wise words, fitting words. They're planned, they're needed. Here's a last one. And again, maybe there's more you can think of as the Spirit of God brings them to light in your heart. How about no words? How about no words as a fitting word? I'm not sure who it was back in the day, but someone told me once, never miss a good opportunity to shut up. I've missed a lot of those opportunities. Most preachers do, right? Never miss a good opportunity to shut up. Man, sometimes that's the most fitting word you can give someone, is just presence. Maybe you're hearing, you're walking through a time of grief with somebody and you just feel like, oh, I gotta say more and I gotta come up with a magical verse. And I'm down the road in this thing with them and I'm not sure what to say. Brothers and sisters, friends, sometimes the best thing you can say in a time like that is nothing. It's just to be there and say, here's what's fitting, my presence with you. How can I pray? How can I help? Fitting words. There's nothing like a word skillfully spoken, a word spoken at the right time. Planned words or needed words or no words. The writer of Proverbs goes on to say this in Proverbs 12:18. Look at this verse. Look at the contrast here. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. You ever been on the receiving end of that? There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Look at the text again, where we were there in 25. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Not even sure what that means. There's a lot of commentary on what exactly that metaphor is, that simile. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. But we know this, it speaks of beauty and value and artistry. Man, a fit word is a beautiful thing. It's like a painting. And when you use the right planned words and when you speak up in a needed situation, and sometimes by the grace of God, Matt, when you shut your mouth, there's nothing more beautiful than that. And Proverbs, the writer of Proverbs says, man, using those words is surprisingly wise. It's fitting. So, spouses, Parents, children, how are you doing with fitting words? Are your planned words within the relationships in your family loving? Hey, Dad, I'm a dad so I can talk to you. What are your planned words like this week? Need to work a little recon on that within the family to plan the words better. I wonder, friends, are you speaking when you need to and maybe being quiet when you need to? Fitting words are surprisingly wise words. So, fitting words. Second, how about this? Correcting words. Go back to the text with me, 25:12. Like, another metaphor, like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Reprover is kind of a different word, isn't it? We don't use that word very much. You're a wise reprover. No. So how about this, correcting? One translation uses the word correct there. It's beautiful when there is, here's what that translation says, it's beautiful when there is wise correction to a receptive ear. Here's a surprisingly wise word, a correcting word. And I love how that translation puts it, correction to a receptive ear. Do you notice something there? Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover, is wise correction to a listening ear. It's full circle. Do you see that in the text? There's nothing more beautiful than a correcting word that is received. There is correction and there is receiving of that correction. So there's two things at work here in the wisdom of a correcting word. There's the correction, which some of us today need to speak. Those are wise words. Words of good correction are wise words. But then the other side of it is receiving. Maybe you're here and you're like, someone's trying to correct me, but I'm not listening. That's not as beautiful. The writer of Proverbs says, the beauty is in the full circle of a correcting word that is received well. I don't know about you, but in those relationships where I've seen that come full circle, where in my life, God has used someone to speak a correcting word to me, and I've received that in the spirit it should have been received in. Man, that's a beautiful thing. It has helped me. It has helped that person. Here's a surprisingly wise word, a correcting word. One commentary notes that the metaphor of the gold ring, the ornament of gold, means it is stunningly beautiful and valuable. A correcting word that is received well is stunningly beautiful and valuable. I don't think we can underestimate the power of a correcting word. Correcting words are surprisingly wise words. Proverbs 27:6. It's a verse many of us who have spent time in the Proverbs are probably familiar with. This is a commentary on Proverbs 25:12. If you ask me, notice, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Kisses of an enemy are profuse. It's not where it's at. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Man, correcting words are surprisingly wise words. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. They are meant to correct and not destroy. My guess is there's a lot of us in here who need to speak a correcting word or need to hear a correcting word. Or maybe you're seated here and you're like, I know what that correcting word is. God used my wife too. My boss told me that. In the context of hearing the word of God in this series, I've already had to deal with this. What is that correcting word that is stunningly beautiful when it is received in a way that it changes me? Here's a surprisingly wise word, a correcting word. You like my glasses? I've worn glasses since it like came out of the womb. That's what I feel like, just forever, right? Like glasses people, you know, it's like a love-hate relationship, isn't it? You're all blurry right now, which makes me less nervous, but you know. These glasses, I had to look this up. These are progressive lenses. These are no-line multifocal lenses. No-line multifocus lenses. I may be the only person in the world that has them. I don't know. Sounds so sophisticated, doesn't it? It's not. It's to make me feel younger. Because what these glasses do is they take out the lines that help correct my vision. And basically, there's different places on my glasses I can look when I need to see things clearly. So to see you, I look out the top. Yes, you're all clear. But when things come in close, I pick up and look at the bottom. And it just adjusts like that. Isn't that so cool? And I look younger, right? Here's the thing, though. These glasses, when I started wearing them, I had to receive the correction because they're not like normal glasses. And the doctor, I wanted to take them back because I got nauseous after the first week. I was like, give me the lines back. The doctor said, hang in there, Matt, because over time, your eyes will learn to receive the correction. And you'll kind of naturally know where to look. I think you see what I'm saying, right? Man, a correcting word is a wise word. It's surprisingly wise. Not if it's not received. Not if that correction is not received. And brothers and sisters, for some of us in here, there are people in our lives that God is using to speak a word of correction, which is a surprisingly wise word. But the beauty, the stunning beauty of that wise word is when it comes full circle. And that correction is spoken and I receive it. Surprisingly wise. So again, parents with kids, friends with friends, are you faithful in using correcting words? Mom and dad, let me throw out some hope here. Maybe you're here and it's been tough with kids because you feel like they're not listening. Are you faithful, though? Are you faithful? Because the first part of that stunningly beautiful, wise word is speaking the correction. Don't quit, mom and dad. Don't quit in your home. Don't quit on your kids. I don't care how old they are. I don't care how young they are. Speak words of correction. They are surprisingly wise words. Stay faithful, friend. But that person you're trying to bring back to Jesus or to bring to Jesus, what are those words of correction to help them in their life? Don't stop. Stay faithful in those words of correction. You know what Jesus said many times in the Gospels? He said this, whoever has an ear to hear, let them hear. Remember hearing that if you're a Bible reader? Whoever has an ear to hear, let them hear. So the other side of this is the other side of correcting words is this. Friend, today at Keystone, what correcting word do you need to hear? Kids, what are mom and dad trying to say? Whoever has an ear to hear, let them hear, Jesus said. Coworkers, employee-employer relationships, where is that correcting word that needs to be received to complete the cycle that the writer of Proverbs says is like stunningly beautiful gold? Man, may correcting words work like that in our hearts. Correcting words are surprisingly wise words. Back to the text. 13. like the cold of snow in the time of harvest, is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his masters. The last surprisingly wise word I want to share with you this morning is this, a refreshing word. So fitting words and correcting words and refreshing words from Proverbs 25, refreshing words. Man, refreshing words are unexpected, exclamation point. Do you see the metaphor here? It goes from jewelry to weather. like the cold of snow in the time of harvest, which in my mind, at one level, doesn't sound refreshing. It sounds annoying, but we'll take his word for it. Actually, we'll talk about that for a minute, but it's, if it snows in harvest time, it is unexpected, right? And man, a refreshing word in the context of this passage and in the context of surprisingly wise words is like that. Man, it's refreshing. Anybody speak a refreshing word to you this week? Did God use you to speak a refreshing word to someone else? And man, it was like throwing snow in their face. Oh. Surprisingly wise words, very often refreshing words. What is the metaphor there? Well, one translation says it's kind of hypothetical. It's as refreshing as if there is the coolness of snow in harvest time. My daughter and son-in-law live in Raleigh. It's hot in Raleigh all the time. Humid, 98 degrees hot. And last week they had a stretch of that weather, and my son-in-law sent me a video of a hailstorm with the front moving in. It's all over his car, and he's out there like a crazy man, just so excited because the humidity was over for like an hour. Like, look at this hitting the car, and there's hail coming down, and animals are scurrying. Wasn't that bad, but why? Well, he was taken by that front moving in, and I'm sure that happens in Iowa, right? Man, like, it's been 60 years of heat and humidity. Finally, here comes a cold front from the west. Oh. I think that's what the writer of Proverbs is getting at. Are you a refreshing word person? Are you someone who speaks the cold front of thunderstorms into the heat and humidity of a summer day? I want to refresh with my words. How you doing with that, Keystone? Proverbs 16:24, look at this. Gracious, pleasant. One translation says, gracious words are like a honeycomb. And I think that's good. I've never tasted honeycomb, but the Bible seems to use it a lot positively, so we'll go with it. Gracious words are like a honeycomb. They're sweet. They are sweetness to the soul and health to the body. They are like snow in harvest that was unexpectedly refreshing. My kids are at the age where we have a lot of those remember when dad did this moments when we get together. And some of you parents, your kids are little, wait till that hits you. When your kids have a lifetime of fodder to make fun of you when you get together. Some of you do that with your parents, shame on you. Remember when dad, and then this litany of stories that has everybody but dad laughing because at the time it wasn't so funny. Well, the remember when dad stories in my house are pretty doggone funny. 99% of the time. But honestly, you know what? Sometimes some of those stories are times in my life where I lost my temper, right? And so I made a spectacle of myself so that 30 years later, my kids could laugh about it. But in the moment, looking back, I guess here's what I'm trying to say. And again, parents, because I feel this as a parent, I wish I had spoken a lot more refreshingly wise words to my kids. So mom and dad, if you're here and you want something to work on, how about dumping snow? Dumping snow on the life of your kids sometimes and just refreshing them. Maybe you're here and you and your roommate are just, how about a goal this week is, okay, God, surprise me with the wisdom of refreshing words. I want to use them to your glory and speak that way to your roommate. Or maybe you're ready to walk out of that place you're working because of that boss. But maybe God says the wisest words you could speak right now are words that refresh. Man, refreshing words are surprisingly wise words. So, Keystone, use words wisely. Sign me up, right? We're with you, Fry. First week preaching, wise words, we're in. Starting today. My guess is I will fail before this day is over. At one or all three. My guess is you will too. If we walk out of here and say, I can't lose my temper with my kids. I don't want them telling funny stories about me when I'm old. Or I know at work tomorrow I need to sit down with him and we need to have a talk and I need to fix some things that are wrong there. But guess what? If you're like me and the weakness of who you are, you won't do that. Because it's not about just trying harder. Changing my words means changing my heart. Do you hear that? Changing my words means changing my heart. This is what Jesus said. Our mouth speaks from the overflow of our heart. So my word problems are my heart problems. Jesus said, the words you speak are the overflow of what's inside of you. So good luck changing your heart, Matt. I can change behavior next week for a while. I might be able to come back next time I preach and say, wow, I've spoken a lot of wise words for a while. But I want to change the heart. Using words wisely means changing your heart. And changing your words because you've changed your heart is a work that only Jesus can do. So Keystone, that's a work God wants to do in your heart, maybe for the first time. Maybe for the next time. How does God need to change your heart so that he can change your words? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the power of wise words, fitting, correcting, refreshing, many others we can think of, but left to ourselves, we can't change that. I pray that you would do a work in the hearts of those who know that words need to change because their heart needs to change. Father, begin that work in the heart of many here today. Lord, in all of us, change the way we talk because we know our hearts are changed through Christ. Lord, we thank you for these things in his name. Amen.